When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome. Robes and TJ here, and Bachelor Nation, stand up. Robes, you're excited. Season 28 of The Bachelor just launched. His name is Joey, but as Emma just explained, our wonderful producer here, who is 22 years old, I say that because it's relevant to most of the conversations we have about Emma. She said, no, it's not Joey. It's hot, Joey.
Yeah, he's hot. He's hot. That's what she told us.
Yes.
He plays tennis and he's hot.
The tennis guy. But it's still remarkable whether you love it, hate it, like it, indifferent to it. It's a phenomenon that's been around since 2002 now. 28 seasons of The Bachelor, 20 seasons of The Bachelorette, I believe it is.
Yeah, and it's entertaining. Also, even Bachelor in Paradise, which might be my favorite iteration of the franchise. But I actually was looking it up today. It is remarkable how many relationships, marriages, engagements, mm-hmm. children were born from this show. So it's, yes, it's fun to watch, but it actually has produced fairly impressive results. I'm actually surprised by it.
Okay, so I was thrown off as we were getting ready today because this is a bachelor themed, I shouldn't say it's a bachelor themed. We have one of the most popular, most famous, most talked about bachelors in the franchise history sitting in the room with us. We were going to talk to Matt James here in a second. He's sitting here with a big old smile on his face. But I didn't realize when I'm looking up the success rate of the Bachelor franchise, I'm looking to see how many of people on The Bachelor got married, how many on The Bachelorette. I didn't realize that the numbers are inflated because they do count Bachelor in Paradise. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Of course it counts.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a thing. I'm sorry.
Educate yourself. No, I'm kidding. No, but I was really impressed by the couples that are still together.
Those numbers are still low, we should say.
Well, I mean, maybe my expectations were low.
Actually,
so I was surprised.
I shouldn't say. They haven't had as many seasons of The Bachelor in Paradise. So they do have a pretty good percentage as far as folks staying together, getting married, which is great. But the others don't have as great a track record, and that's fine, but it's still, no matter what, I am blown away. I've only watched one season, full season of either of them. It was The Bachelorette is a season I watched. Have you committed to a full season before?
The first one with Trista and Ryan, I was really into that all those years ago. And then, obviously, for what we did for a living, we were constantly interviewing contestants. So I watched episodes here and there. But for the full season, and in fact, for a while, my kids, even when they were younger, we would have fun watching it as a family. So it actually is family viewing.
You're
learning about relationships and how people interact with each other. It's interesting.
See, that I don't think it gets credit for what you just said. People often, it's just reality, it's trash TV, or this isn't how you're supposed to find love. How can any of this work out? But I think you hit on something. No matter what, I think we're all still, we want love to work. We are rooting. We have this hope in us, no matter what. And then we get cynical later, sure. But I think at its origin, we are rooting for people and we're rooting for love.
Right. I totally agree. And I find that I learn about communication when I'm watching these shows. Maybe that sounds silly, but I do think people's emotions, when I'm watching it, it's legit. It's real. It mirrors life.
This is how you learn to communicate in a relationship?
No, but I'm watching.
I see why we're having problems.
How many other times, though, do you actually
get to watch? Maybe I'm kidding.
I know. But how many times do you actually get to watch other couples communicate? I mean, you really get to watch it. And I know cameras are there and it is a in part fantasy, but there is some realness to those conversations that I found to be and interesting and insightful sometimes.
Do you find you were turned off maybe from the franchise because of what we did for a living and where we worked? We were inundated with it all the time. So it almost felt like I rebelled, like, oh God, I don't want to have to go. I'm at work all day with this and have to hear, I don't want to go home. And
right. It was homework. It was homework in a sense. But then if you really actually sit down and watch it, I found it to be not just entertaining, but fascinating and interesting too, on top of it.
So I only watched one season, and the one season I watched was the season, The Bachelorette, of Rachel Lindsay. I watched it from start to finish, every single second of every single episode. I didn't realize she was a contestant on the previous Bachelor season, and she didn't get picked, so then they made her The Bachelorette. I found this out as I was on my way to work one morning. I was on 6th Avenue about to make a left onto 45th.
Wow, this left an impression with you.
It did, and you'll see why. It's because I saw, wow, they're going to have the first ever black lead. And the first thoughts I had were, oh God, that poor girl. Because I knew what might be coming her way as the first, right? And most of the contestants they were going to give her were probably not going to be black. And my mind started being concerned for her. As I was getting closer to the studio, I see the rundown. Rachel Lindsay is on the show that day. So she's in the studio. I had no idea. I walked in and I immediately went looking for her. Rachel, never met her before. I found her dressing room where she was getting hair and makeup done. I walked in. I closed the door behind me. The first words I ever spoke to Rachel Lindsay were, "Sister, I'm worried about you." And she never met, didn't know who I was, and she understood. And she's been my girl ever since. And we have. We've been good friends because of that. Because of an understanding that you being a first and how this show has gone about doing its business up to this point, I was worried about her. Matt, I apologize. I didn't get a chance to have that conversation with you before you went on your adventure. Everybody, please welcome Mr. Matt James
into
the studio.
Thank you. Thank you.
Who, of course, the first black bachelor in franchise history. Before we get into a whole bunch of stuff, how committed are you to the beard?
Oof, the beard's on its last leg.
Really?
The beard's on its last leg.
Why?
Yeah. Just because as I've evolved in my affinity for running, I run in the cold, I run in all the elements, so it really is like a natural built-in weatherproofer against
wow.
all the elements.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so as it gets warmer, I'm like a bear, I'm just going to start shedding the hibernation fur, so it's coming.
What does Rachel think of the beard?
Rachel's supportive in everything, so like she's so nice about it. She's like, it looks good. And she's never, ever told me to cut
but
it.
But she said it like that?
Yeah.
I can read between the lines.
Yeah, it might be time. It might be time. But I preface growing it with like, Rachel, if it ever becomes an issue, like, I don't care that much about it. Like, it's no sentimental value. Like, this thing can go. And she's like, okay. So when are we cutting it? it'll come soon.
It's like your kid bringing home like a drawing from school and they want to put it up on the refrigerator. You know, it's nice.
Right.
It's
right,
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
that's how she feels about the beard.
I think she just thinks there's looks that suit me better. And,
okay.
And the beard is, again, it's a means for the running. If I wasn't running in the cold, I probably would have cut a long time.
Wait a minute. You really telling me that this was all a matter of function, not appearance, not vanity, you don't think it looks... Really?
I
did not know that.
My first go around with the beard, that was like a stress beard where I just had this like massive beard right after the show. So that was the function for that. But now it's like I grew it out. I kind of liked it, and it's gotten colder. It's been very easy to run, but now it can go.
Robes, are you hearing this right? It sounds like it might be gone soon.
I definitely think it's going to be gone soon. I have to say, I do like you clean shaven better.
See? I feel like that's most... you know,
that, most women.
Yeah, most okay. women. Most women are like,
I just wonder about the hygiene involved with a beard.
Ooh,
you know, I have questions, but I don't need them answered. It's okay.
Now I'm looking at them differently.
Yeah. No, you know what? I learned a lot about beard hygiene through my first beard, and I didn't know how to take care of it. But yeah. Now I've got all the grooming done.
Got it.
I'm washing it. I'm oiling.
It just seems like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but the latter is very unpleasant. So I got to take care of it.
Do you get a lot of food in it? And I ask you that because if anybody follows you on Instagram, you are eating, I don't know, 16 hours of the day.
Constantly.
Perhaps.
It's honestly, that's probably the biggest issue is someone not telling you that there's something in your beard. So, and it's just disgusting. Like if you've ever been around anybody that has something on their face or in their teeth, like I'm just walking around with mustard in my beard and everyone just kind of looking at me like, so.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's, things like that, I'm like, man, I'm kind of ready for this to go too.
All right. That's exciting. So by the way, where is your better half?
Like most weekends, she is on her way to a wedding. Yes, she's on her way to a wedding. I didn't even know it was wedding season. I guess wedding season's 365 now.
Yeah, man. She's right in that sweet spot, right, of age where so many friends from college hitting a certain age and getting married, and there's a wedding every single weekend, it seems.
How does she feel about going to a wedding without her plus one?
That's a great question. There's so many of them that if I went to every single wedding that I would miss out on previous engagements. And I had a lot going on this week in New York. One of those highlights being to come see you all. So
wait, don't blame us.
Oh, sorry, Rachel.
What the hell?
AKA Rachel, baby. I'm sorry. This is on TJ and Amy. I was
Rachel. We gave him next week as an option too,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah. Speaking of weddings, how many times do you get that question a day?
Oh, man. It depends on how many people we see. it's constant, but I get it. I mean, our relationship and love was so public and is still so public that everyone has a vested interest in and when that's happening. And I tell most people, and I'll tell y'all, we wouldn't be together if that wasn't the end goal. And the longer we've been together, the more of a reality that is becoming. And especially when we go to weddings together and we start to bounce ideas off each other, we just kind of start to create our own perfect wedding, which is fun. So when we leave places and venues and travel and countries, we're like, would you want to get married over here? It's like, yeah. And
do you have a list of just, you're thinking destination wedding?
What I say doesn't matter. Whatever, it's going to be wherever and whatever she wants, which is fitting. But I think that a destination wedding would be amazing. And I think that she's slow to that idea too, just because, we have so many people that we'd want to enjoy that with us. Oh. And, if you have a destination wedding, it kind of trims it down a little bit. Listen, weddings are expensive. Weddings are expensive. So it's something that we talk about, and it's not something that we're not like having conversations about.
All warm weather destination. Now, I'm not assuming we are going to be on the invite list, but it's a warm weather destination you are looking at, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Definitely no beard.
No beard. I couldn't get away with the beard for the wedding. No.
I will say, though, no one else can see your face, but when you were just talking about it, it was sweet. Your face lit up. There was a warmth. Like it was a really cool thing to see how warmly you talk about it. Despite having to constantly talk about it, I can still see it's an exciting thing to look forward to that you're planning and you're developing. And I don't know, it's you fell in love in front of everyone. Your entire relationship was exposed in front of everyone. How have you dealt? You were a real estate agent before this. How have you dealt with the public pressure of being in a relationship? I mean, yes, people are rooting for you, but what is that like?
Oof. I dealt with it very poorly initially. You just try to do things to appease people. And that's just a very dangerous path to go on because you can't make anybody happy. It's hard enough to make your partner happy. So like doing things into consideration of others is a non-starter. So we started living for each other and we focused on each other and we just stayed out of the nonsense. And I think that's where we thrive. And that's why we're not around a lot. Like there's so many things that go on in that reality world and bachelor world that you're pulled into, because, you know, you'll always be a part of it. I'm getting sent stuff daily from people and getting tagged and stuff. And but our relationship's strong because we focus on each other.
You say focus on each other now, but you use that word appease others outside of the relationship. Where did you find that you were making some missteps and doing something personally or doing something with her or in relation to your relationship mm-hmm. that was for somebody outside of the relationship?
I think that you take advice from people who aren't married, aren't family, don't know what it means to be in a healthy relationship. So you're taking in all this outside noise that is just noise, and you've got to decipher, like, what's the basis of their advice? Like, is it selfishly they just want to see a ribbon tied on this experience that they all went through with you, and they're just, it's a selfish thing, or they're like, they actually want the best for you? And the people that want the best for us have never put pressure on our relationship. And with that type of relationship to those people, it we're more susceptible to what they have to say, because we know they're coming at it from love and from someone who cares about us, opposed to someone that just, like, that really doesn't care, because there's so much turnover in the franchise that, you know, there's going to be the next person, the next person, the next person. So that end goal will come to them at some point. And as someone who had been in that situation, you feel the pressure to make that happen. And I'm not going to call anybody out, but as you've seen over the past couple seasons, just because the show ends out a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that that relationship is going to withstand the test of time.
Right. And conversely, you all had broken up when you were doing the After the Rose, the reunion special. You all weren't together. Yep. And then look what happened. I guess started backstage, and then a month later, do you feel any public pressure to stay together?
I don't think so. I don't think Rachel feels that either. I mean, when you've been together as long as we have, there's love there. You know, you can't, you could fake something, but for so long, and and you see it with people who are together. But I think anyone who's been around Rachel and I can tell that we were made for each other, which is crazy, because during the show, you know, everything. So you made a point earlier about you and TJ were talking about having learned about couples communicating while watching people communicate on the show. You can't run away from tough conversations like you can in the real world. Like, in the real world, if I wasn't going to talk to somebody, like, back then, I would have just not texted them back. And, like, I'm sorry, but that's my honest answer. Like, I wasn't going to, hey, can we meet up? Hey, I don't think we should be together. Are you okay? Okay, let me walk you out. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, the easiest way for me to confront that was just to, I'm never going to talk to them again. I'm not saying that was the right way, but, like, going through those experiences on the show has helped.
You had to break up with people.
Yeah.
To their face.
It's the worst.
And put them in a car.
Do we have to relive that?
You know what? She makes a good point. Back to the breaking up.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
I know Bachelor Nation is an enormous nation, mm-hmm. and I know you constantly get inundated with things, but do you ever hear from anyone? Do you continue any friendships from people that were on your season? And even any of them try to give you any advice about what you're doing?
You made a very interesting point when you were talking about that connection that you and Rachel Lindsay had just off of the few words you shared before the interview, having never met each other. And I think Rachel and I have a similar relationship, Rachel Lindsay. She was the last person I spoke with before they took my phone and before I went out into this like super foreign experience. And she gave me some of the best advice that helped shape the decisions I made during that time. And that was out of the kindness of her heart. Like, we didn't know each other. Like, she had just seen me on social or like heard through the grapevine. She had a better relationship with the woman who didn't want me on the show than she did with me. And because I was supposed to be on another woman's show who ultimately it didn't work out. And so Rachel reached out to me and I was like, dang, like this is, I spoke with a bunch of different former contestants, mostly bachelors. I didn't reach out to any bachelorettes, but I had Nick Viall reach out. I talked to Wells. I talked to Ben Higgins, like people who I still look up to and respect. And it was just something different about the Rachel Lindsay conversation. Mm-hmm. Just because I think she could relate and feel the pressures and the weight of that stage and what it meant for a lot of people. So, me and Rachel, we don't talk every day, but whenever she's in New York, she'll reach out to me. I hosted and mediated her second book conversation. So we have a good relationship.
You know, I have to, since we're talking about Rachel Lindsay, I think that news has been out there and everybody knows now she is split with the guy she ended up with mm-hmm. after her season, her husband that appeared to be going through divorce proceedings. What is your reaction to, not necessarily just that they broke up, mm-hmm. but the reaction that has been out there to her splitting, you being in the unique position you are, where people are rooting for you, are waiting for you to break up, want to put a bow on it, I think is how you said it. Mm-hmm. What do you think about what you're seeing and how people have reacted to what was, I guess, a polarizing couple in a lot of ways, now splitting after 4 years?
I'm heartbroken for her. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people look at these, you know, reality relationships as, you know, is that like it's just a fictional thing, and there's real emotions there. They were married. Like, people forget that they were married. They moved into
moved cross country.
Yes, for each like other. I think that people don't look at the union of marriage the same with those type of people, and they're no different from anybody else. So, a long-winded answer to say I was heartbroken for her because it was hard enough to break up with someone that I barely knew on The Bachelor. Like, I couldn't imagine having that type of a conversation with someone that, you know, you were planning to spend the rest of your life with. So I haven't spoken to her just out of respect for her situation, but I've been praying for her, and it's just sad. Like, I root for love, and you know, it's devastating. I can't imagine what they're going through.
And can I say to you, and Robes, you'll be on board with this. I was the same way. Rachel and I have been close for a long time, but when everything was going on, my initial reaction was to, let me hold back. Let me mm-hmm. give her a beat and just mm-hmm. stay out of the way. And then I thought about you, I thought about Montel, I thought about Chuck, I thought about Hallie, I thought about Candy, I thought about Byron, I thought about all the people when I was going through hell mm-hmm. and nobody knew what the hell to say to me. Mm-hmm. It made a difference that you picked up the phone and sent that message. Mm-hmm. It made a difference to just get that. And I've talked to Rachel since all this went down mm-hmm. and just, it means everything when you're going through hell to hear. And I know I'm not getting on to you for it, but I know exactly the position you were sitting in. And I assure you, she wants to hear from you.
I needed to hear that because I think about it selfishly. I'm like, oh, I need to say something to her. But it's like, what does she need at this moment? And like, what, and I saw that she recently posted that she did a girls trip, which I'm through the, I'm super excited for her, because you need in that moment the people to come around you. And like you were saying, when you were going through what you were going through, like we, at the time we didn't have the strongest or best relationship just because we hadn't known each other for long, but the way that we first met and interacted, like I just, it was something in my spirit that I just looked up to you. Like the way that you handled everything that I was going through and our relationship with grace and guidance, and it honestly inspired me to want to pursue what you were doing. Yeah. I wanted to be you.
Do you still want to be him?
I still want to be CJ.
You can do better, brother. You can do better.
So, but yeah, no, those type of conversations meant more than you know. And there was the ones we had on air, and there's a lot of conversations that we've had off air and time we spent together that no one will ever know about that meant a lot and means a lot.
I was trying to explain this to Robes, who was obviously a witness to everything going on, but she was also a witness to every time I picked up the phone and said, hey, just heard from Matt, let me let you read this. Or, hey, I got lunch with, I think you were the first person when everything went down and shit hit the fan with us. You were the first person outside of Roebuck that I set foot out with publicly. Mm-hmm. We went to, had Mexican a couple times at the spot in Tribeca. We went for a run. But to your point, you don't realize, I guess we switch positions here in a lot of ways, and you I will inundate you with texts now. If I don't hear from you,
yeah, you do.
The hell with it, brother. I'm going to keep coming at you until you let me know you okay.
Yep.
But you were the one in that time, you were one of those who wouldn't give up on me, who wouldn't let me crawl under a rock. And Roebuck, you know this. How many, you know that handful of guys that meant everything to me, and you know one of them you were hearing about. Is this dude sitting right here?
Right. I was going to tell you, Matt, you may not realize, and it sounds like you don't, just how much you meant to TJ during this past year. It was a huge source of comfort to know that someone cared and someone got it. I think, you know, that's, and I love what you just said about how I think a lot of people watch these types of shows or watch anyone who's on television or in the public eye and somehow think that they are insulated from pain or insulated from trauma. Mm-hmm. And it's actually amplified in a lot of ways because everyone going through something private, whether it be a divorce or any sort of breakup or any sort of controversy, is painful enough. But to have it amplified and the pressure of that is even more so. So, you know, I know that you get it. And people, I think, sometimes forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they just believe that somehow there's so many other great things going on in your life that this doesn't mean as much. You know, relationships and, you know, the ups and downs and all arounds of them are probably the thing that impacts all of us the most in our lives. That's why The Bachelor probably is such a phenomenon, because we all get it. We all relate to it to an extent. And I know that in your season, you were the first Black Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
And so race obviously was going to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But race played a role that you probably couldn't have even imagined ultimately. And I'm curious today, because obviously TJ and I live this to an extent, in terms of your relationship and how you all interact and connect, or perhaps don't see things the same way or need to be reminded of or educated or re-educated about things on Black and white issues, like how much of that is a part of your relationship?
You know what? There was a time where as the show was airing, it seemed like where our country was at the time, no one wanted our relationship to work. And the things that humanized my relationship with Rachel, like you were saying, people saw us as people on TV and not humans. And I lived in TJ's neighborhood, and I would see TJ in
The Seaport.
Yeah. I would see TJ. I'd see TJ in the Seaport walking to go get lunch with his beautiful daughter. And I was like, damn. I was like, I want that. His beautiful daughter. I was like, I want that family. And I'd see TJ running. And I had these interactions with people that I looked up to who had things that I wanted. And I saw it again for myself. And I had those confirmations affirmed, and I had those conversations with Rachel about you know, people who had done it before us. And it was encouraging to see that it wasn't something that was foreign and shouldn't be foreign at, you know, 2022. but it just took us taking time to really get to know each other, because what a lot of people don't understand is when you go on a show like that, yeah, it's 8 weeks, but the actual time, like the literal time you spend with that person, could be quantified in hours. So like I had spent maybe 7 hours with this woman that people wanted me to propose, you know, propose to. And when you think about it like that, it's like, that's the ultimate speed dating, you know? So it's, we just went about things a different way, and we're still here. We're together. And a lot of people can't say that who, you know, rush that process. And we're not rushing things.
So Married at First Sight wouldn't be your jam. You wouldn't do that show.
I do too.
But you wouldn't do it though.
Oh.
Listen. That's what we did. It's basically what we did.
Okay, you got 7 hours.
That was a pregnant pause.
It's basically what we did. And I say I pause because I'm so, like, my relationship is perfect, and I wouldn't want to go out of the relationship that I'm in. But I wasn't familiar with that show until recently when Rachel showed me a video that is the funniest video I may have ever seen in my entire life. Can I share a little snippet of it with you?
Wait, yeah. What video?
Yeah.
It's this guy's talking to the lady that he just married or is about to marry. And he goes, I'm going to botch this, but you can go look it up whenever. And he's like, the lady that he's speaking with, she's like, oh, this is a pretty view. And then he looks at her and he says, you're my prettiest view.
Oh,
and then she looks at him and she goes, that was it. And I just died laughing. We have to cue that video for this. But
what season?
Wait, I was just gonna ask, what season?
Does anyone seen this? You haven't seen? Oh,
Maybe Day Fiance?
No, Married at First Sight. We just watched the most recent.
It might be 90 Day Fiance. I Like the View. Yes, yeah. I Like the View. And he's like, you're my best view. And she's like,
We haven't done that.
You gotta watch that. So I'm getting confused. I've seen 90 Day Fiance. I haven't seen Love at First Sight.
Married at First Sight.
No, I've never seen that.
So you,
what is Married at First Sight?
Please.
You meet the person you're going to marry when you're standing at the altar with the officiant, ready to go. Your family is there. Your friends are there, and you've trusted the producers who have used this algorithm to put together apparently your perfect match on paper, and you genuinely, legitimately, legally get married.
On the spot, that moment, you don't have a choice.
And you get married, and then you have 8 weeks to figure out if you're going to stay married, or you actually have to end up getting divorced.
It's decision day. Yeah,
this is a real...
Yes.
It's nuts.
Yes.
It is absolutely
It's The Bachelor on steroids.
Wow. Oh, yeah. So I need to watch this.
Yes.
Yeah. It's always nice. I always tell people this who ask about our relationship. I'm like, it's always nice to see someone else go through it. Like, when it's not your drama, so like people who are so enamored by, you know, everyone else's stuff, now it looks like I can take part of that.
Yep.
Love at First Sight. Wow.
Look, you threw in the word perfect a second ago. I knew what you were saying. You said you all's relationship is perfect. Obviously, nobody's is, but you were making a point there. But mm-hmm. I do want to go back to the word perfect, to where we look from the outside. If anybody listens to you here mm-hmm. or follows you on Instagram, mm-hmm. yes, everything does look and appear perfect. You seeing me going through the seaport, smiling, daughter with me, everything looks perfect.
Yeah.
There was some hell going on for in sure. my life at the time. What is the hell, right? What is it we don't see to where, yes, it's perfect, and you can have a wonderful relationship, mm-hmm. but when are the moments that it's not perfect? What are the moments that aren't perfect? Are they just normal moments like the rest of us have in relationships?
You know, that's a good question. There was like a few months ago where I was thinking to myself, I'm like, how do I engage with my audience more so they have a more holistic view of our relationship? And I was like, I'm going to film like us getting into a fight. And it wasn't like I wasn't going to like pick a fight where it's like, you know, because that would have been easy. Like I could have left all the cabinets opened or the refrigerator cracked, like done stuff that like annoys her. But I didn't get around to that. I still might film one, but we actually got into an argument yesterday. Okay. And it was so dumb. It usually is. It's always the it's the always the dumbest stuff.
So you probably got a good relationship.
We have a great relationship.
If it's petty little stuff that is not even worth talking about, then you're probably doing pretty well.
It was so dumb.
Okay.
And
what was it about? I want to know.
Yeah, I'll tell you. it's so dumb. I hadn't gotten back. Let me rephrase this.
Oh.
Let me rephrase this. It wasn't something worth getting that upset about. It wasn't dumb, but it was like, no, it was dumb. It was dumb on my part.
All right. You got upset, not her.
I got upset.
Okay.
So I had a long morning. Obviously, I worked so hard.
Yep.
And
he's prefacing everything. I was tired. Just so you know, I was tired
I
before
had
this
long
morning.
Busting my tail to bring food home for the no.
Yes.
and I call Rachel at lunch because I just like want to hear her voice and just like hear this like fresh breath of air, like just like put me at ease. And I called her. I was like, hey, babe. She's like, Matt, you haven't given us the food for the wedding yet. Are you going to give Michael the dish you need? Is it a veggie? And she just started going on this thing that I hadn't done. Okay. I should have done this a long time ago. And it was the last thing I was trying to hear. And I was like, are you serious? Like, you're not going to ask how my day was? Like, and we just like got into this like spat back and forth.
Overnight.
And I hung up. And I was like, I'll call you back later. Like, I can't talk to you right now. And I was walking to go get a cookie, and I opened the door and I smelled the cookies and I was like, what am I doing? And I called her back and she's like sniffling. I'm like, baby, I'm sorry. She's like, I forgive you. And like, and she's just like so loving and understanding in that moment that like it was so dumb. And like, thank goodness that's the extent of like our fights. Like there aren't like any major blowups or like any controversial things we've like gone at it about. But I think the moral of that story is we both have an understanding of like what is and isn't silly. And when something isn't worth, you know, going to war over, she's the first to call me and apologize, and I'll do the same and I'll apologize. But yeah, that's the things you don't see.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Okay, Rose, we got to get this out. After hearing that story, I'm curious for you, what is your first question to him as a follow-up? And I'll tell you what mine is. After hearing that story, what is your question?
Oh, so I was going back because you can put it into perspective. My thought was how much of what you went through with the public scrutiny all the controversy, kind of having to hide out. We've talked about this from the cameras, from the press. How much of going through something that actually was serious, that actually was really difficult, gave you the perspective to be able to brush off something that could fester, that could blow up, to say, you know what, this isn't that big of a deal?
See, and my question was, how long did it take for you when you hung up to call her back?
Those are two incredible questions. I'm going to answer Amy's first. And it's funny you say that, Amy, because Rachel has literally said that to me when we've gone at it over something ridiculous. Like, we're just sitting there on the couch and she's like, I can't believe we're arguing over this after everything we've been through. I'm like, you're right. Like, I'm sorry. She's like, I'm sorry. And like, it's that amicable. It really, when you face the toughest adversity at the rip and off the peak and at the beginning of your relationship, I mean, you can get through anything, which is comforting to know that, you know, you have someone who will stick by you through, you know, the ups and downs. Not that there won't be more, but just that it's battle tested. So, that is like our North Star. It's like we've gotten through this. Like, that's our grounding moment. It's like, if we've made it through everything else, then this is nothing close to that. I'm like, you're right, babe.
The storm came early and it came fast.
Storm came early and fast. Okay. And to TJ's TJ's question about how quickly I called her back, probably 45 seconds.
Okay. Oh, good. Wow.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say 45 minutes.
No, I wouldn't let it fester that long. I was like, I hung up. I just needed a second. And I was just like, and it's typically how it goes with us. Like, before you say something dumb, either way, it's like you're going to hang up and just take a second to collect your thought and then to call back. It's usually, yeah. So I knew I was in the wrong. So I called back and I'm like, tail between my legs, baby, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, I'll take the
go ahead,
the salmon.
Rose, you're dying to say something.
I'm not. I don't need to point anything out.
No. Then I'll point this out. I get that. Like, when you're in the wrong, you got to jump on it in that moment. I think most fights and things take place and it's never really about what happened. Mm-hmm. It's how you handle what happened.
That's a fact.
That ends up being the problem. And so, no, that's, yeah. And to your point about recording an argument, I don't know, Ropes, will we recommend that or not?
I mean, so we did a couple weeks ago, and people fell on either side of the fence on whether or not we should have. But I look back at it and I learned a lot from it. So I don't know that I would recommend it to anyone. You have to be personally willing to re-listen to yourself and to hear things differently. And that is part of the process. I actually personally am very glad. For me, I think it actually was a moment. I feel like a different person afterwards now. I really do. So for me, it was actually helpful, but it came with a price because people weigh in, you know, that's the thing, you don't want to put on this perception of having some perfect relationship and there is something about knowing you're not alone and it is relatable. And no matter who you are, no matter where you live or how much money you make or what your circumstances are, we all still come down to the same basic things. We want to feel loved. We want to feel safe. Mm-hmm. We want to feel heard. Mm-hmm. We want to feel understood. Yeah. So I do think that there is real value in understanding that and knowing that everyone's in the same place, genuinely.
But Matt, we'll let you know from where we were at the time. We said she didn't know it was about to happen. We were in a whatever little beef, and she wasn't with me at the house. And I just set up the microphones. She came over, and I said, hey, let's just talk it out and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And we had days to decide whether or not to put it out there. Mm-hmm. And so we had to go back and listen to ourselves fight like five times.
Man.
That was tough.
It spawned more difficult conversations and fights. And a big part of it did have to do with race. Mm-hmm. It did have to do with not seeing eye to eye on some things or how something could be perceived coming from a black man talking to a white woman or a white woman talking to a black man. Now, privately.
Yep.
It's no issue.
Yeah.
But then once you hear it laid out and you put it out there for people to hear. So I think when she was asking you earlier about how race ever plays into it, when in your private moments does she have a moment where she needs to be, and I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but educated almost, unaware of or doesn't know how to handle something related to you as a black man, your culture, your upbringing, your way of seeing the world? How often do those things?
The way the world sees you.
And the way the world sees you.
do those things come up?
I mean, to be honest with y'all, we're so fortunate that, and I say this from like the highest level of privilege, like I am so fortunate that a majority of my interactions with people, our interactions with people, we're not having those type of extreme racial reactions to our relationship, to I'm trying to think of the best way to answer this. Because there have been moments, I'm just trying to think of.
So I'll give you, and while you are thinking, to give you an idea, and Robes, you, like this is something that didn't come about because of us.
Yeah.
But we happen to be around someone who, right, a group of folks who, someone, a white person, says something about black culture, says mm-hmm. something about black folks, makes a reference to something in the way to where now her ear, to where everybody in the room who might be all be white, they look and they listen, they're laughing or chiming in, and I'm like this with my arms crossed, mm-hmm. just listening. Mm-hmm. She now can hear what was just said and understand why it came into my ear mm. and would have been interpreted differently to where, and again, not no offense to you, right? You didn't do anything wrong, but she didn't understand why I might be offended by the way the world is seeing me and not respecting me or not appreciating, not being considerate at all. Mm-hmm. Those types of things do rear their heads every now and again with us. Doesn't call a rift between us.
Oh, no.
No, not
but
that.
I would say that I just, so where I think what you're specifically referencing is a lot of people in an effort, they come from maybe a good place trying to connect mm. or relate
got you,
to the black
you.
Experience.
Yeah,
some
yeah, yeah.
It's offensive
yeah,
because
yeah,
they
yeah.
can't.
Yeah.
And so seeing people desperately try to connect or relate
yeah,
ends up
yeah.
being
oh,
offensive
man.
In a way Ooh. That I wouldn't have necessarily realized before.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
hit it, that hit.
Well, not for me personally, but I've seen it. Like I see so much of it because like people so much wanna be like, I feel you. But like, there's other ways to like, you know, support that cause than to like, you know, try to draw to an experience that you might not,
right.
you know, be able to represent.
It's happened a couple times.
Yeah. But I would say to answer your question, and again, this is like coming from the biggest area of privilege, is like, if we're going to dinner or we're going, or if we're at the airport and I think that me going up to this individual is going to warrant a negative response, then I'll send Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, like, and I know, like, that's just how it goes. Like,
no, I'm laughing because we have all, at some point in your life, you've been in a car and the police lights come on in the back and we look around, we tell the white dude with us, hey, you got this one, right? Like, you tell them, they talk to the cops for us. There have been plenty of times, Robes, I say, hey, you need to handle this one. You need yeah. to take this because they, yes, see, yeah, now it's coming. Now it's coming.
It's here.
All right.
It's here. I was in Marble Falls, Texas. It's a
good start to a story.
It's a suburb an hour south of Austin. And I was there for my college roommate's wedding.
What?
And I had rented a car for the weekend. And I was driving to the, and I was driving to pick up a cowboy hat because it was cowboy themed.
This is a great story.
I think I saw the picture of you two
yeah.
on Instagram with
yeah.
you with the cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm.
You guys looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
And Rachel's flight was delayed, so I'm by myself. And Rachel is going to Uber and meet me at the reception, and then we're going to leave after. So on the way to the reception, I get pulled over. I haven't been pulled over since my sophomore year of college when I was legitimately speeding.
Okay.
Like I was speeding and I got a ticket, as you should if you're speeding. I was going the speed limit. I had my headlights on, I had my seatbelt on,
okay.
and I get pulled over. And my heart starts to race.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm in Texas. I'm black. I'm by myself.
Oh yeah.
Like this is a rental car. I don't know where the registration is. Uh-huh. Like my heart is racing. I turn the car off. I take the keys out. I put them on top of the car. And the cop comes up to the car. He's like, sir, do you know how fast you were going? I was like, the speed limit? Like, he's like, you flew by me. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, were you stationary? Like,
what cars like, typically do.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm trying to figure out, like, I'm like, well, do you know how fast I was going? And he's like, well, you were going faster than me and I was going the speed limit. And I'm just like, I'm just like trying to de-escalate. And long story short, I don't get a ticket for speeding. I get some sort of like infraction for improper equipment or something like that. And I'm just like, thank God that's all I made it out there with. Thank God that's all I made it out of that situation with. Go to the party. Leaving the party, Rachel's in the car this time. I get pulled over leaving the party.
Okay. Wow.
I get pulled over twice in one night.
Okay.
Cop comes up the car. This time Rachel's in the car though.
Oh God.
I can't make this up. Ma'am, are you okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's like, yeah, I'm fine. He's like, you know, I pulled you over. I was like, honestly, I have no idea. Enlighten me. Like at this point, I'm mad. I'm like, he's like, you were speeding. He's like, you were going 38 in a 35. Technically, I was speeding. And I was like, in my head, I'm just like, am I going to go to jail? Like, what is, like, what, like, and I'm like, you know what, sir, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't realize that. I just try to, again, de-escalate, because that's what you have to do in this position. If you're aggressive, like, who knows what's going to happen? So I'm like, sir, you're absolutely right. I was speeding. I apologize. Like, I didn't realize I was going 38 and a 35. Mm. He's like, all right, give me a second. Do you have your license? Gave him a license. He walks away. Seemed like forever. Then comes back to the car finally. He's like, I'm going to let you off with a warning, but you better not come through here speeding again. And I'm just like, took my license back. I'm just like getting chills thinking about it. And then like Rachel was crying in the car. She's just like, I'm so sorry. Like I had no idea. Because we'd never had an experience like that. And moments like that is when it's like the realest. Because it's like, that's what like potentially our kids would have to deal with. And that's what life's like when, you know, you're in certain parts of the world. So.
We've had several of those moments. I was going to ask you how she reacted.
Yeah, she was not okay. Like, yeah. She was flustered.
But describe again, and I want Ropes to hear this. When you get pulled over, what do you do? What do you do? As soon as you see the lights, just what is your process in the car?
I turned the car off. I put the keys on top of the car. I rolled down every single window in the car. I rolled down the back windows. I rolled down the front windows. I turned the lights on in the car. I had my hands on the steering wheel like this. And I'm like shaking because I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of what I did. I'm like, everything's racing through my head. It's like, did I just run a red light? Did I hit somebody? Like, what did I do? And like, you're just like, I feel like there was no benefit of the doubt in that moment. Or I wasn't given any benefit of the doubt. Like, it was just like, we're going to find something. And, you know, I'm not saying that every situation's like that. It just happened that happened that night like that. And I usually have positive interactions with law enforcement. I don't ever, you know, find myself, they're typically helping me for something. but in this situation, you know, it was scary for both of us.
Yeah. I mean, those are the eye-opening moments that I would be willing to say most white people can't even imagine. It's something you actually almost need to see to really, really understand and get. Someone can say it, but when you're in it and you watch it and you witness it, it's a completely different experience. So, and again, it's still a different experience for me because, as you pointed out, the police officer asked Rachel if she was okay. Mm-hmm. And that is one of those moments where you're just like, holy crap. So do you all, I don't even know in terms of just how you all are generally received, do you have to deal with ugly comments? Do you have to deal with critics? I mean, and how do you deal with those types of people and the scrutiny that almost anyone who's a public couple would have to deal with? How do you guys handle that?
I think so much of what Rachel and I share and promote on our social platforms is just love, positivity, like joyfulness. Like, we're not digging into the tea behind this or like trying to pick apart the negativity here. Like, we're only about the positivity. So like, we don't even have a breeding ground for like that type of narrative. Like, if they want that, like, there's a million outlets for that. Like, they can go to this page for the gossip. They can go to this page for the tea and for the drama. Like, that's not really where it happens. But if it does happen, on in our comments or in our messages. It's just as simple as a block and a deleting of the
a block
comment.
And a delete. I love a block and a delete. In fact, my kids showed me and they went through my stuff and there's like keywords. Mm-hmm. That you can say if any of these comments have these keywords in it, they aren't seen.
And oh,
that
wow.
has been a...
That's crazy.
Right? I took my young daughters...
On which platform?
On all platforms, what? TikTok and Instagram. My girls last week went through and said, here are the keywords. And I won't go through them, but we started laughing coming up
that
with them.
That is hilarious.
And now that they've gone through like these 12 words...
Give us one word. Give us one. Oh. There's got to be one that's appropriate.
Is it?
I mean,
look on your face right now. Wait, so you can identify? You can list the words.
Yeah.
You can list
that
the ones
is
you don't want.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Wait, time out. I'm just imagining you and your daughters just like, that's a good word. Good word.
Yeah. And we did that.
Just got this
and
big blackboard.
It's totally worked because if you start to look at the negative comments, they all kind of say the same thing. So you just pick out the words, and
that's
genius. Now I have nothing. Well, mostly just positive things now. Yeah. So it's been actually a game changer. So just in case you have to deal with that.
It's only like two words I need to take out.
I actually don't want to give them any life. That's actually why I don't want to say them. But I'm thinking but I'm thinking you could probably figure out what the words are. I actually just don't want to give them any power.
That's
so
fair.
I don't want to say them out loud.
Because
then people might try to find another word to get around it. And I don't want to give anybody any ideas about what words I use to block. It's a game.
I had no idea.
It makes a difference. It makes a total difference.
You know, you're like you said, but you're a big part, and there's so much there. I mean, God, how many blogs or sites are dedicated to just Bachelor Nation? Mm-hmm. Are you a proud alum of Bachelor Nation?
Yeah, I mean, it gave me one of the best things that's ever happened to me, which is my relationship with Rachel. Like, I wouldn't be in a relationship with the woman I love if it wasn't for the show. Mm-hmm. And there was more positive than negative that came from it. There's negativity in everything, but if we decide to dwell on it, then that just tarnishes anything. Like, there's probably an experience we all had in college where it's like, when someone asks you about college, you think about the best times you had. It's like, man, that one time where I failed that test and I was hungover. Like, no, you don't think about that stuff. You think about all of the things that made that experience joyful. And yeah, I am happy about, I'm happy, I'm proud about the experience, but a lot of what comes with being a part of that show is speculating on relationships and rumors and gossip and weighing in on things. And frankly, I don't want to be a part of anything negative to anybody's life. So that's the only reason why I steer clear of those type of conversations. So like, I have love for everybody. Like, I don't have ill will towards anybody. And if anybody ever reaches out to me, I'm there to chop it up with them. But I'll never go out of my way to, like, you know, insert myself into something that a place that I don't think I should be. But if someone reaches out, I'm there. Gotcha. And I've had a bunch of former Bachelor and Bachelorettes reach out after the season being like, how'd you navigate this? How do you navigate that? And I'm there to give advice and a sounding board, and I'll reach out, similar to how our conversations were when you were going through stuff, to know that, like, you know, sometimes you're living in a bubble. Like, it's like you think that you're at the grocery store and you're like, oh, that person knows about this. It's like, man, they're just trying to get cheese.
Yeah.
Like, it's like not everyone's always thinking about what you're going through. Like it's okay.
Do you have a relationship with, have you talked to Chris Harrison at all after everything that happened?
Yeah, we're in the same fantasy league. We're in the same football fantasy league. So there have been multiple conversations there. And we have mutual friends. One of my really good friends, Jack Arnold, who's a chef, always FaceTimes me when he's with them. So there's no bad blood. Like, I understand everyone has a job to do. And the way I look at everything in life is that every single day of my life, I make horrible decisions. Like, might oversleep and I'll miss a train and I'll be late to something that has a ripple effect to something else. I'll get in a conversation. I'll say something to Rachel that I wish I could take back. And I'm given forgiveness for that. And so if I'm given forgiveness for the things that I do and wrong people, like, who am I not to forgive people who I think have had that similar experience? So, I mean, that's my healthy approach to dealing with anything, with anybody that, you know, there might be bad blood. It's like, I'm not going to hold a grudge because, you know, God doesn't hold a grudge for the things that I've done. And when I take that approach towards anything, then again, it promotes the positivity, and I don't have time to dwell on the hate, because it just, it's not hurting that person. It's hurting you. You know, you're just, it's just, it's not worth it. So.
You're in a fantasy league with them now, but did it take a while? Did it, or were there some early uncomfortable first few conversations, or was it kind of squashed early on?
It wasn't like, it wasn't even addressed. It wasn't even like, in the fantasy, I use the fantasy league as like a, like if you had disdain or ill will for someone, like I'm sure you probably wouldn't be in the same fantasy leagueism. But I say that to say that, like, our fantasy league is about fantasy football. It's not about like the Matt and Chris relationship. But there, we had a conversation after everything took place, and it was a good conversation. Like, it wasn't, I didn't screen his call. Like, if he texts me, I'll respond. But yeah, there's no hard feelings for anybody. Just based off of the way that I look at life and the grace I'm shown. So,
do you think he should have left The Bachelor? He should have lost his job over that?
I don't know. Like, I don't know who I am to make that judgment call. I obviously didn't make it because you know, he was there after whatever we went through happened. But I don't wish any harm on anybody. And when you have a situation like that, like, what is the right way to go forward? Like, who is to make that judgment call? So, for him, I mean, whoever handled the situation handled it how they best saw fit. And, the show goes on. I mean, the show would and will be there long after he's gone, long after I'm gone. So, I mean, maybe something that was going to happen inevitably just was sped up. And from what I've seen from him and his relationship with Lauren and what he's doing now, like, it was a chapter. Like, everything in life is a chapter. And I think it's dangerous when you make something that's meant to be a chapter your whole book. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do I think it was the right thing? Like, thank goodness I don't have to make any type of calls like that, because, you know, I probably make things based more off emotion than like how things should go. But yeah, like I said, the show will be here long after us, and something that would have happened inevitably just happened sooner. So,
you watching the current season?
There's other
no.
Okay. Well, another pause.
No, no, but like not because I don't want to watch it. Like,
so you got time for it?
Well, I I'm watching like True Detective. Like, there's like season four. Like, what's her name?
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. Yeah.
Love Jodie Foster.
We were just talking about that show. That's so funny.
This is a very weird reason to have a crush on somebody. But I had a crush on Jodie Foster since like Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, we all.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, so like,
she can do no wrong.
Clarice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Agent Starling.
So when she was going to be on True Detective season four, like, that's, I mean, I'm watching TV, but, and the thing about being a former lead, you get all the tea anyways. Yeah. Like I know what happened and what's going to happen because I have friends who are producers. Yeah. I have friends who, you know, you're connected, so I know what's going on.
You already know how it ends?
I know how everything ends.
Oh, my gosh.
I think,
you know how this season ends?
Yeah.
Don't tell me that, because it's our job to get it out of you.
Well, so. just as much as anybody else knows, like who knows if it's true? Like, from people, I've talked to people who were there.
And
like, you know, it could be a lie, but it was information that was offered up. You know, it's not like I was like, yeah, like, so.
Tell me how it ends.
Yeah, like, how's it?
Wait, so what you're talking about is already out there?
No.
So, okay.
Oh,
okay.
No.
You okay. Have to be... No. Somebody. You know, they post stuff, and
they
say, "Well, I pieced together that it was probably this." Because,
no, he knows the
that.
Real.
You, know,
yeah.
You
real
actually
deal.
Know right now what happens at the end of this season of The Bachelor.
Yes. Based off of what I was told. Based off what I was told.
From people who would know, though.
Yeah, from people who would know.
I have a question. Did you, have you and Rachel together sat down and watched your season of The Bachelor?
Oh, no. I don't think we'll ever watch the season together. And just because, like, it's a weird dynamic because you're with that person now and you weren't together when you were making
these
decisions.
Kissing other women.
You were kissing other women. But like, I am not ashamed of anything that I did or said on the show. And I think that, I think one of the reasons why Rachel respects me as much as she does is the consistency in my messaging and my actions from the moment that we met to where we are now, because it hasn't changed.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't, and to each his own, like, but I wasn't, you know, telling a lot of multiple people I loved them and just taking this opportunity to like sleep with a bunch of people. Like, that's just not who I am. And
does that happen on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Okay. And like, again, like, if that's how you want to go about finding the person you want to be with, like, I'm not stopping you, because it gets people to that point, but it's not something I needed to do.
Can you be in love with, I mean, if you've watched any of these shows or any of these seasons, the question I think a lot of people ask, can you be in love with more than one person at the same time?
I think you can lust more than one person at one time. But when you really love somebody and you've been in love, like, there's just certain things you wouldn't do to that person. So I think if you really love somebody, like, if I'm telling you I love you and then I'm going to sleep with somebody else, like, I don't personally think that's love. But again, in the figuring out process, like, some people have to do certain things to figure out who they want to be with. And I'm not going to knock that, because I'm not the love doctor.
Well, and I asked if you and Rachel watched your season together, but have you individually, and has she individually watched the season as it was released to the public?
You know what's funny? I think that, like, when the show's coming out, it's like so exciting. So, like, you're having these watch parties and like all her girlfriends are over and like, oh my gosh, like, you're coming out of the limo. And then like season week two and then week three, and then it starts to get serious. And it's like, you know, the watch parties kind of end, you know, you're not like tweeting about the episode. It's like, you might've seen a very serious conversation with somebody else. So it gets weird.
Tough.
Yeah. It gets weird.
It's hard. I mean, I'm imagining how hard that would be.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the thing with Rachel and I is she knew where I stood. Like, I told her, I gave her confirmation on my feelings for her. But she could have taken that any way she wanted. She could have been like, oh, he's probably telling everybody that. Mm. And that's just not who I am. I'm sure people, you know, tell a bunch of people that, yo, this is us, this is us, this is us. But, you know, she took my word at face value. And like, that trust is like built the love and admiration I have for her, because I'm like, she, for no, like, there's no reason why she should have trusted anything I said. She didn't really know me. Like,
7 hours, right?
Seven
in
hours.
Total.
Yeah, maybe less. But like, she believed me and like trusted me, and like, that meant a lot. Like, she's like, okay. Like, never faltered from it. I'm just like, dang, she's a real one.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
I'm late. I'm late for a very important meeting.
couldn't be.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
It's amazing to hear you, because again, we have obviously, Robes and I have been through a lot when it comes to relationships, when it comes to marriages and being in a relationship publicly and an interracial relationship, all this. But you are sitting here talking about Rachel in such a way, in a loving way, that we always say this, love, relationships, marriage, it's messy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And to see you sitting here at this point, mm-hmm. this happy, yeah. and speaking this publicly and strongly about her, given that,
yeah.
you had to go on a show. You were the first Black Bachelor. Your season went to hell because of controversy in a lot of ways. Yep. You break up with her. You get back with her. But all that is messy as hell.
Yeah, it is.
But you're sitting here happy at this end. And I don't know how any of us could not be happy or take you at your face value that you love her. And it's just another great example of it's just messy and ugly sometimes to get to this point. What a journey, man.
Yeah, she's a rider. Like, there was this trend for a while where people were telling the parents were coming home to their kids, and they were telling their kid, like, let's say your little son's name was Billy. You come in like, Billy, like, this little kid down the street picked a fight with me. The parents said, like, I need you to go beat this kid up. And Billy gets up. He's all right, let's go. And, like, these little kids were, like, riding out for their parents. And I feel like Rachel, if there was anything I ever need, like, Rachel, I need you to do, like, not to beat somebody up, but like,
but if needs be,
she'd try.
There's just nothing that, like, there's just so much love there that, like, we would do anything for each other.
Am I the only one that, when he was telling that story, all I saw now was a little baby Rachel going out and beating somebody up?
And I don't want to harp on the negative, but I think it's important to recognize where you've been to figure out, or at least the perspective of where you are. Mm-hmm. What was the lowest moment?
Probably when I thought that I would never talk to her again. And that was like right after the show when we broke up, because I felt like it was the right thing to do. I'm like, yeah, guys, like everyone out there, like we did it. Like I did it.
You felt pressure to break up with her?
I felt like there was something that conversation we had at the end of the show on like the AFR, man, that was tough. That was like, I don't think we were together at that. Oh yeah, we weren't together.
You weren't together after the roast, right? Yeah, you guys were broken up.
Yeah, we went. That was like the first time I'd seen him forever, and like you're just like forced to have this like conversation with someone that you like still love, but like you're not together because like you don't really know if you know each other. Because like that 7 hours, it's like I think I know you. Like I think what we experienced was real, but like, is it real? Like, are you really this much of a rider? Like, are you really this down for me? And like, that takes years to figure out. Like, from my experience,
took us almost 10.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so that was like kind of what I was trying to figure out. I'm like, is she who she says she is? And once I figured out that she was, and she never faltered off that, I'm like, man, I can't let this go. But yeah, that was the craziest thing. It's like trying to discern what is and isn't real. And it was, she was real the whole time. So, yeah.
And you can knock me down for this, but I'm trying to think if we've talked about this privately before I say this here.
Uh-oh.
No. It's not a bad thing, but it does play a role. It played a role with us recently. But so much of what was coming at you and coming at her at the time had to do with her doing something that many viewed as racist.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are as a Black man being celebrated, applauded, and we all applauded the show even. Like, all right, we got a brother in there. That's great.
Yeah.
And what did you feel, even if it was perceived, from the Black community? It's like, wow, everybody loves me. They're down for me. And now I love this girl. I think I love this girl. This is something special with her.
Yeah.
That they are looking at her now. Like, how could I, as a Black man, be with a woman that everybody thinks is this thing?
Yeah.
How did you deal with that in your own head? Like I said, some of it might have been perceived, but some of it was actually out there as well.
Yeah. This is like the most like politically incorrect way to draw a comparison, but I recently watched the OJ documentary, and which was, I mean, the way that the story was put, I wasn't alive during that time, so I had no idea, and I'm learning in real time. And as I watched the trial play on and the verdict come out, and this is my interpretation of it, it was less about the verdict and it was more about black versus white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when I think about our relationship, it was more, it was less about the love and it was more about the black versus white.
Yeah.
And when that's the case, like, you lose sight of what's important. I don't know if that answers the question, but that's,
I get it. We were alive for the trial. In fact, I was in a newsroom.
That's crazy.
That's how much of an age gap there is.
I was in a classroom still.
It was my first job. It was my first job.
Yeah,
you were in college.
That was my first year in high school. Yeah.
No, stop it. That is not true. That is not true. But I remember being in my first newsroom. I think I was 22 and watching Oprah. And watching the black reaction versus the white reaction when it's fun. And I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. It makes sense. I want to also ask about, we can't not ask about your mom. I mean, your mom joined
that was crazy.
Bachelor Nation. What was that like for you as her son?
I was happy for her. You know, I'm pro like anybody being happy. So like this opportunity made her really excited about something I'd never seen her excited about. And dating and getting back out there, like, and I say never, but like in a long time, because the older you get, the prospects dry up, and it's not impossible, but like it's tough. I can't imagine what my mom goes through. So like to see the opportunity for that for her, I was stoked. I was really happy.
Is she back out? Is she dating now?
She is out there.
Hello?
Yeah, she is dating. So
she on like dating apps?
I don't think she knows how to use any dating apps.
Okay. How does she meet people then?
Yeah.
What does she do? She goes on reality shows, yes.
Yeah. There's a... Well, she... This is going to sound so silly.
I love how you preface so many of your stories.
Well, I'm about to say it, I'm just like... What I was going to say is that, like, there's... Oh, my gosh. There's a pickleball club that she's in now.
Oh, cool.
So, like, there's, like, you know, you do stuff like that. And like, I'm not saying pickleball is for like retirees, but I love pickleball. But yeah, she does stuff like that. She goes to shows, comedy, wine nights, like just events where you can meet people. And not all of them are singles, but like, you know, if someone meets my mom and they know she's single, they're like, oh, like I know a blonde who, like, they try to do matchmaker. So I'm like, I tell my mom, she's so comfortable in her home, like in her routine. But the more you put yourself out there, I mean, you can't, opportunity just doesn't come to you. Right. Like you've got to present yourself so that things can come your way. So the more she goes out there.
And you knew what happened on the show before everybody saw it, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What did you think I assume you watched it.
No, I didn't watch
it. You didn't even
really?
Watch
you
it?
Didn't
no.
watch?
I mean, I was bummed. Like I knew it was going to happen. So right. like, yeah, I was sad. She called me and she was really upset. And but I mean, it's, you know, that's the game. Like it's it wasn't, you know, the Patty James show. It was, you know, it's the Golden Bachelor. So if it wasn't who she ended up with, it wasn't who she was supposed to be with.
Did she watch it?
She freaking watched every episode. Yeah, she loved it.
Did she like the outcome?
Yeah, he's married. I mean, I think that the outcome was right, but I think that she would have liked a little bit more time to get to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that ultimately it wasn't the person she was supposed to be with, but if there was time to explore that relationship, I think she would have had a little bit more of like a... Like anybody, I don't think anybody wants to go home the first night.
No. You know?
She doesn't roll like her son. She needs more than 7 hours to figure it out. What would you say is the current health of the Bachelorette franchise, given that, I mean, there were controversies, the ratings have been up and down, but now the new season seems like the ratings are solid. The Golden Bachelor was huge.
Yeah.
But what do you think the health of the franchise is right now?
I just think that this has nothing to do with the Bachelor or the Golden Bachelor, the Bachelorette or... Bachelor in Paradise, there's just so much competition. It's like asking, like, what do I think about Red Bull? It's like, you know, they've got Celsius, they've got freaking, like, there's so many, it's saturated. Like, you got Love Island, Love is Blind, Too Hot to Handle. Like, there's a million places that you can go to get that fix. Whereas back in the day, The Bachelor and, you know, the offsets of it were it.
So, but for the lack of diversity that they try to now improve for, I guess they got the whole situation worked out now, for diversifying the contestants, for all the changes, I guess, the tweaks they tried to make.
So
to
just
be
looking
more
at The Bachelor, not looking at the pool of...
Well, I don't even know about Bachelor in Paradise, but I guess I'm just talking about Bachelor and
favorite.
Bachelorette. For
it's
all
the
changes.
It's my favorite.
The Bachelor in Paradise?
Yes.
We'll get on that today. But, you know, for the health and for what it went through, taking some public hits, if you will, over the years.
I think that people like to romanticize things. Hmm. I think people romanticize, you know, the Yankees when Babe Ruth played for them. I think that people romanticize the Bulls when Michael Jordan played for them. But the reality is, you know, things change, people change, and your options change. So I think that people romanticize a time where they got they felt a certain feeling from watching the show that, you know, you can get that so many different places now. Like, things change, and like, as things change, your perspective has to change. So I think that it's fine. Like, I like, as someone who like is a creative and like tries to think of, you know, fun and enticing ways to showcase food or whatever, like, I think that, like, there's nothing that I think could spice it up any more than I think they're doing a great job. Like, I think it just stinks that, like, nowadays they have competition with all these streaming services and all these like other shows that offer, you know, whatever you want.
Would you ever host it or want to host it even?
Would I ever want to host The Bachelor? I wouldn't. I don't think I'd want to host The Bachelor. I think that's an amazing opportunity. I would love to host something. Like, I love interacting with people and having conversations.
Why not The Bachelor, though?
The Bachelor? I don't know.
We love the pauses.
Matt James is like, I cannot tell a lie.
Yeah. I'm just like,
I have to be honest and figure out how to best land this.
Well, I want to be honest. I just don't see it. Like, would I want to host something? Absolutely. Family Feud. Like, an eating contest. But like there's a connotation that comes with hosting that, and you put yourself in that. You put yourself back in that atmosphere. And that's the thing I was trying to say. That was one of the things I was trying to avoid, is being in a space that, you know, is kind of toxic. And I think that if you roll around in that space, that, you know, you open yourself up to that, because you have to be, you have to have an opinion on things.
Yeah.
And like, it just...
When you roll around in the mud, you get dirty.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why is that so funny?
I tell you all the time, you're the funniest person I know. You really are. You really, really are.
Oh, what's next for you? I love following your adventures. You're a world traveler, and you certainly like to eat. What's next for you?
Oof.
The London Marathon.
Yeah, where do I start? Oh, yeah. I love running. It's just been like my peace place. And so, yeah, I'm going to try to run the London. I'm going to run the London Marathon.
I think you're going to. Yeah, you're going to probably succeed at that.
I'm going to run the London Marathon. I'm going to try to get Rachel into a race.
Ooh.
We're going to get her in a 5K.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. Down in Disney.
Oh,
in the Disney 5K. Just a nice. She loves Disney. So like, any way to like entice her into, you know, not being mad about me buying so many running shoes, like, we can figure out a way to...
We would love to run with you down at that 5K. I don't think we're allowed on the park's grounds anymore.
Oh,
I don't
on.
Think. We'll check. We'll
yeah,
check.
Right.
Last we checked, we weren't, but we'll check
you,
again.
We'll put you in some cool Disney costume. We can all... I'll be Frozone.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Miss Incredible. You can
Wait,
be Miss Incredible.
DJ can grow a beard or
I gotta
something.
Be Frozone. Yeah. Is there another... What's the
yeah,
other one
could
I could be?
You, oh, this is hilarious. You could be the... Oh, this is the...
Oh,
from
God.
Princess and the Frog. What's the bad guy's name?
Nice. let's not finish this. Let's not finish this.
He's a good looking brother. He's smooth. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I got enough problems. You're trying to label me even as a cartoon villain. God damn, man.
And there's not many of us.
You know what I've been through?
You know what? You take Frozone. You got Frozone.
Oh my goodness. Wait, London Marathon, what marathon will that be for you? How many of you run?
London Marathon will be like number 6, but I'm going to do all the majors.
Oh, I wanted to do that too.
Yeah. We can still do
all
it.
All right, yeah. What have you done major wise?
Boston, Chicago, New York. But I want to hit sub-3 in all of them. So like,
oh, yeah.
I got to go for it.
Boston's the one that scares me. That's the one I'm going to leave till the end. I've done Chicago, New York, Berlin.
Yeah, Boston.
I've done
was
the
nasty.
Flat ones.
Yeah, Boston
and then
was
the home.
Nasty.
I'm so afraid of Boston.
You just train the hills and you'll be Oof. Fine. Just do the lap in Central Park.
What do you got? London. What do you got? So Tokyo and what's left?
I have Tokyo, Berlin. And London. Okay. But London. I've got to do Chicago, Boston, and New York again because I have to get under 3.
You don't have to, but that's...
I need to.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
You want to.
That is so impressive.
Okay. Yeah. But then I've been doing a lot of other fun stuff too. I got to host a bunch of different things this year, and that was a lot of fun. Just like getting to pick other people's brain and sit across from people that I respect and... have important conversations and get people to think about an important topic differently than how they came into it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's fun.
Here's my favorite thing. We've joked about this, but when you're in broadcasting, usually one of the questions the producers have you ask.
Oh, God.
Somebody
oh,
let's
hear it. Journalism
school. Is there anything that we didn't ask you that you'd like to let the listeners know?
Oh, yeah, that's great. I mean, honestly, all I'd have, we tackled this already, but the thing that I would want to leave people with is just to have grace on themselves and on others, because life is hard and people are good and we make mistakes. And if you are perfect, then this doesn't apply to you.
Haha.
Isn't it something we are so quick to judge everybody else by their worst mistakes, and we judge ourselves by our best intentions. Mm-hmm. And we've learned this more and more over the past year. And it's funny, and Matt, I've said it to you privately tons of times, and this is an opportunity. I think it might be the first opportunity I've had to say it to you in a public format. But it meant everything to me. You meant everything to me in the worst stretch of my personal life, professional life, right, even, to get that message, to get, even when I didn't respond to you, to get a follow-up, to have you just say, how you doing? Or I'm here. You didn't say, hey, what do you need? Or what can I bring you? I want to do this. You didn't even give me some Bible quote, right? Mm-hmm. Just, I'm here.
Yeah.
That meant everything to me at that time. And I know you could relate to a lot of what was going on with me and was going on with Robes at the time. Brother, it meant everything. So I encourage you and anybody else listening, man, pick up your phone right this moment and check on somebody just to say hi, who's going through it. But brother, it meant everything to me in one of the worst parts of my life, that you, who I wasn't that close to even at the time,
I don't think,
but to be there and show up for me was everything. So this is, love you, brother. And I'm always rooting for you and rooting for Rachel and whatever comes, man. But you've it meant a lot to me.
I love you too, bro. I appreciate you having me. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Oh, you had that look on your face. Oh, so
actually,
sweet.
Well, you know, I was going to even say, like, thank you just as TJ's girlfriend, which I know you love that word, but thank you for being there for him. Because I could be there for him, obviously, as his girlfriend, but to have the support he needed from other people, and especially from someone like you, was everything. Like, it really did make a huge difference. And, yeah, you showed up at my birthday party.
I was going to say,
that's right.
I was going to say that, like, it takes, it's both ways, though, like, because, like, TJ could have said, like, man, forget this guy. Because, like, you know, you, in that moment, you don't want to talk to anybody, but you guys invited me in. And I appreciate you, because I've gotten to experience your life and how rich it is. So it's been amazing. Like, anytime I get invited over to y'all's apartment, I will accept that invitation with open arms, because I'm going to be around friends and family.
Still have that bottle of tequila.
You still have that cover from the marathon. You showed up. You remember you showed up after the marathon.
Yeah, the marathon party.
I came after the marathon in my cape.
Yeah. Mind you, this was like 7 hours after the race. He still ain't been in the shower.
He shows up.
You know what? When you run the marathon, if you run the marathon, I'll wear that medal for a week.
Yep.
I'll wear my cape for a week. I'm like, I ran the marathon.
You're a superhero.
Oh, this cape? Oh, I just ran the marathon.
Doesn't it feel good, though, afterwards? You're walking through the streets of New York and everyone's like, congratulations. And you're like, hell yeah, thank you very much because I earned this.
It's the best. Rachel was ready to just like... light that cape on fire just because anybody, no one was even saying it. Then I walked like, oh, me? Oh, ran the marathon. Thank you. I was just playing into it at that point. So.
Well, Matt, we are, we absolutely will have you back on. We'll get Rachel in here at some point.
Yeah, we got to get her in.
Actually,
here.
We'll get her in here minus you.
Ooh.
And then we'll bring y'all together and see how the stories
love
match
it.
Up.
We'll
do that at some point.
Dang, that'll be the true test. If I was fibbing or not. Yeah.
Well, brother, appreciate
Thank
everything.
You.
And folks, you know where to find Matt. You know where to find Robach. You know where to find me. We're all on TikTok, all on Instagram. You can find the show at Amy and TJ Podcast. But like you said, spread some love. Check on those you love. And we'll see you back here next time.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.